Let's turn our Bibles tonight over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. The book of Hebrews in chapter 3. We'll look at verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 3. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let's pray. Father, we ask you tonight to help us to see the danger that we face as believers each and every day of our lives that we live. That we might be alerted to it. We might work hard to be all that you want us to be in these difficult times that we live, these troubling days, these last days. Help us to be faithful to serve you. If any would be here that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, oh, we pray that they wouldn't leave that way, that they would get it settled tonight. Make sure that they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father. We love you, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the Bible says here that through the deceitfulness of sin. Why is sin so deceitful? Well, I want us to look at six things tonight. I'm sure there are others, but especially these six I want us to look at. Why is sin so deceitful? First of all, we'll go back to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. And I'm sure you're familiar with this passage of Scripture, and we've heard it many times. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So the Bible tells us that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so the first reason that sin is so deceitful is because we all have inherited a sin nature. We all have a sin nature. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man," that's Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The Bible is clear that because of Adam's sin, the whole human race was plunged into sin, and we all have this sin nature. We have a nature to sin. And look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." So notice here that the Bible is very clearly teaching, and if we read on, it says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Our nature is to do wrong. Our nature is to sin. But we are to put on the new man when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to yield ourselves, as we'll see later on, to him. Look in James chapter 1 and verse 22. James 1:22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we really see ourselves for who we are when we look into the Word of God, the mirror of the Word of God. If we look into the mirror of self, we see a pretty good person. We see somebody that we're kind of happy with. But if we look into the Word of God, we see ourselves for who we really are, and we realize that we have this sin nature. We have a sin nature. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 7 and verse 11, beginning there in Romans chapter 7 and verse 11. He said, "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that it in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am." Or if we could just get that down in our Christian lives, that we are wretched people. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then he gives us the answer. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So Paul taught that there's a great struggle between the flesh and between doing what we ought to do for the Lord. The flesh is strong, and Jesus warned us that the flesh is weak. If you look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, another familiar passage, again teaching us that we have this sin nature. Verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." Notice that, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. "And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." There's a great struggle between the flesh. So many Christians don't realize that. They go on their Christian life and they just don't realize. And as Romans 6 teaches us, they yield to the wrong things. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing we all also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And here it is again, the victory over sin in our life, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's there ever to make intercession for us. We need to draw closer to the Lord, and we'll find the strength to resist the flesh. And so sin is so deceitful because we all have inherited a sin nature. We are wretched. Our heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Sin doth so easily beset us. We must realize that sin is very deceitful. Not only is it deceitful because we all have inherited a sin nature, but secondly, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 through 13, we find another reason why sin is so deceitful. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 through 13. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and beginning in verse 9 through verse 13. Only take heed to thyself. Sometimes that's where we need to just lock in and dwell for a while, because we are always taking heed of somebody else. And somebody else isn't doing what somebody else ought to be doing. But the Bible says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart, from thy heart, all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them to hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the mist of the heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. Second reason sin is so deceitful, because it is our nature to forget what God has done for us and what he has said. So easy for us to forget what God has done in our lives and what he has said to us. I think about the 10 commandments being taken down at Harding High School, and how that wouldn't have been too many years before that where there would have been such a public outcry in Marion that they wouldn't have been able to do that. But the outcry hasn't been that great. Only a few have really taken the stand at the 10 commandments being taken down. And just wonder about how quick we are to forget things. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 23, you read there at verse 23 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says this, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. It's so easy. The children of Israel, if you study their lives, they had so much that they had seen from the Lord, but yet they forgot. They just turned away from it. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 and 29 tells us that our God is a consuming fire. Tells us that he's a consuming fire. And if you read in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 through 19, if you go back there and look at that passage, notice something that comes out here. God is a consuming fire. He was that for Israel in the Old Testament, and he is for us today, a consuming fire. doesn't take sin lightly. Somehow we forget that. Somehow we think that it isn't really bad. Some of the things we do as Christians that we know are wrong, it isn't really that bad. We tend to forget that God's Word is very clear here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible tells us, verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire God keeps his word." And God is going to deal with our sin. We will give an account someday. Romans 14:12. "Every man shall give an account of himself to God." How easy it is for us to forget. To forget that God is a holy and a just and a righteous God. And sin is a reproach to him. Several times the children of Israel were told in the book of Deuteronomy to take heed that they would not forget. But they forgot. And you know, we forget too. We forget things that we ought to remember, how God is, what he does. And we forget how God dealt with some people in the past because of sin. We forget how God dealt with us in the past because of sin in our life. How easy it is to forget. The Bible 55 times mentions take heed. Wish we had time to go through all of them, but if you want to do a good Bible study, get a concordance or a concordance on your computer and look up take heed and read all of the verses on take heed 55 times. It's a good Bible study. We'll look at a few of them and just look what the Bible says. We so often forget. Look in Psalm 39 and verse 1. Just look at a few of them tonight because of the time factor. But Psalm 39, verse 1. "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue." I read verses about the tongue. It always comes to my mind about, and his name just flew out of my mind, but he was a great evangelist of the past. And a lady came forward and said, she was laying her tongue on the altar, and he told her, he said, "Lady, our altar's not long enough for you to lay your tongue on it." That's what he told her. And sometimes we need to take heed to our ways and how we use our tongue. We forget that the Bible teaches what we say is important, how we talk. We are to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. He says here, "I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." And so the Bible teaches we need to control the tongue. Boy, we could really spend a lot of time there. Take heed about that. Watch what you say. It's important. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16. Here's another take heed verse in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. Malachi 2:16. "For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously." The context here is putting away of the wife, divorce. How many Christians forget what the Word of God says when there becomes a conflict between husband and wife? And they forget that God, it says here, that he hateth putting away. God hates that. God wants us to work it out. But somehow Christians get the idea that it's okay. In my case, I can't put up with him or I can't put up with her anymore. Instead of taking what the Word of God says and working at it to make it work and to get things straightened out. And we are so quick to forget. It is our nature to forget what God has said, what He has done in our lives. God can work out every problem. God can solve even the most difficult of situations. There is nothing too hard for Him. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Here's another take heed. And He said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Sometimes we forget that, and our efforts and our emphasis gets upon things instead of serving God. And we forget, and we are caught up in getting things instead of serving God. One of the things the devil used in the temptation, all these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. And when we get caught up in things, our worship turns from the Lord. And our worship certainly isn't upon Him. Then look here in chapter 17. Here's another take heed in chapter 17, verses 3 through 5. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Well, they wanted more faith to be able to do that. But the point is this, that we so often forget that the Bible teaches to forgive. To forgive. Somebody said that forgiving is forgetting. Forgiving is not forgetting. Forgiving is just forgiving. You can't forget what people do, but you can forgive, and you can turn it over to the Lord, and you can leave it there. And don't take vengeance. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, thus saith the Lord. But so often we as Christians we develop enemies within the church. And we will no longer associate with certain Christians anymore. We don't really, to an extent, divorce ourselves from them, but we tend to shun them because we won't forgive them for maybe something they said or something they did. We should have a forgiving spirit. How often we forget that, and that our Lord forgave us, we ought to be forgiving of others. Chapter 21 of Luke and verse 8, here's another take heed. And He said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. So much confusion now about the rapture and when it takes place, and many Christians are being deceived, and many pastors are teaching a mid-trib or a pre-wrath rapture, and some have even gone to a post-trib rapture, and many are deceived about the end time events and getting off course as we get closer to the coming of the Lord. We tend to forget the things that we have been taught, the things that the Bible teaches concerning the last days. Look in Acts chapter, drop down to verse 34 here. It says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. Many people get caught up in the cares of this life that they forget what really matters for the Lord. And they get all off course with their life and into things they shouldn't. Look in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Here's something that we forget. Something that pastors forget as well. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Hey, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. We're to preach the word. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. We need to be remembering that we are to watch, because false doctrine is around, grievous wolves. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Verse 20 said, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Paul didn't back off with the word of God, but he preached the word of God and gave them the truth. And so often we forget that if we don't stand strong for the truth will get run over or pushed in the background. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Here's another take heed. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Boy, sometimes we just think that we're the one. Everybody else needs to just realize what I know and who I am, and need to see me for the great Christian that I am, and they need to understand that, and they need to learn some things. If I could get up there and teach, or I could get up there and preach, I'd show them a few things. Well, the Bible says we need to take heed. If we think we stand, we need to take heed, lest he fall. Very easy to get built up with pride. I can remember as a young preacher, many times I would get up and think, boy, I really preached a good message. Man, that was a good one. And then the next one I'd preach, I would make such a mess that I went home all discouraged and depressed because I found out I wasn't such a great preacher as I thought I was. God has a way of bringing us down in our pride. And we need to be careful that we don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, as the Bible says. We ought to be humble and realize that we are sinners by nature. And it's easy for us to forget. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy, here's another take heed passage. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 12. We'll start there. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And so the importance of remembering Bible doctrine, staying in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, exhortation that comes from the Word of God, doctrine, so important that we stay in the Word of God. But somehow we forget to read our Bibles like we should. We forget to pray like we should. We are prone to forget, and it gets us into trouble. That's why sin is so deceitful, because when you get away from what you ought to be doing, it leads to deception and getting into things that we shouldn't. Number three, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Why is sin so deceitful? Well, because we all have inherited a sin nature, because our nature is to forget what God has done for us and what He has said. And thirdly, we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 20, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Says, don't be deceived about this. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. And God hath raised up the Lord, and hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? And harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So notice that thirdly, sin is so deceitful because our nature is to soften up on sin. Our nature is to soften up on sin. We will not be thinking that some of these things we just read about are not really that bad. It's interesting, a lot of Christians, when it comes to surface in their own family, how their attitude changes against these sins. And they begin to soften up on them. And they don't take the stands that they ought to take because someone in the family has gotten involved in something that they shouldn't. And many Christians are brought under the power of certain sins. Because they softened up. Look in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Sin is so deceitful because we have a tendency to soften up on sin. James chapter 1 and verse 12. James 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Notice the word there, endureth. You're going to get tempted if you're a Christian. You can't live in a sin-cursed world, have a sin nature, and not get under temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted, notice this now, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When he's drawn away of his own lust, that means he's softened up in some area of his life. Then when lust hath conceived, verse 15, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Remember, Paul said that we need to see sin as exceeding sinful there in Romans 7:13. Sometimes we don't do that. We tend to soften up. We know things that are wrong in our life and we tend to make excuses for them. We tend to try to cover it up. We don't want it to be dealt with because we enjoy our sin. We have a tendency, a nature to soften up on sin. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I've known Christians who say, well, you know, I enjoy some of those Hollywood movies, and I know there's a lot of cussing and swearing, and I know there's a lot of unbiblical situations, but you know, they have a good plot, and they're entertaining. Well, if you pump that stuff into your mind, it's going to have an effect upon you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You're going to have a problem. You can't be around it and not affect you. I remember when I was in the Army, cussing all around me all the time, and I found myself cussing in my own mind. I never said it out loud, but it was so prevalent around me that I couldn't keep from thinking it in my own mind. evil communications corrupt good manners. And I fought it off. I never said it out loud, but I certainly thought it. It was all around me all the time, the talking and the evil communications, and it affects us. We need to be careful what we read, what we watch. There's so many good, solid, good, and clean movies that you can get that are so much better than the garbage that Hollywood puts out. There are Christian films that are out and different things that you can get away from that. You don't have to do it, but somehow it's our nature to soften up. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But it's our nature to soften up on sin. Number four, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. Look what Jesus warned here. Why is sin so deceitful? Because we all have inherited a sin nature. Because our nature is to forget what God has done for us and what He has said. And because our nature is to soften up on sin. Make it not as sinful as it really is. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24, Jesus warned, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I know this is tribulational, but the Bible teaches as we get closer to the tribulation, there'll be more and more. The deceivers shall wax worse and worse, and iniquity shall abound. And it's evil time. And so we need to realize that sin is so deceitful because there are so many false teachers out there. Sin is deceitful because so many false teachers. We need to stay with the Word of God. Look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Romans 16, 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Notice they have good words and fair speeches, but they deceive. Their God is their own belly. What is that? Self. It's about self. It's all about self and promoting self and what God is to you, and not what you can be to God, is what God is to you. It's all goody-goody two-shoes stuff and not any talk about the deceitfulness of sin and how it misleads us. Ephesians 4:14 is another passage that deals with this. Ephesians 4, verse 14. That henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are a lot of deceivers out there. Get us off track. Look in chapter 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Let no man deceive you with vain words. There are deceivers out there with vain words, empty words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. There are many deceivers out there that are trying to make sin not appear as sinful as God has said that it is. Number five, Proverbs chapter 29. And verse 1. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. Proverbs 29 verse 1 says this. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Sin is so deceitful because it has a hardening effect. We read that there in Hebrews chapter 3. Your sin, your heart be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It has a hardening effect. In Hebrews chapter 3, there in verse 8, we read that. Well, we can go back there and look at that chapter 3 and verse 8 and read that again. It says, "Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness." It's easy to get a hardened heart. They did. The more they sinned, if you read through the story of the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt, and by the time they got to the promised land, none of them got to go in because they had an evil heart of unbelief. Verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Only their children went in. But as you read about them, you don't see them when God does these miraculous things. God brings them through. God has to judge their sin time and time again as they're going through the wilderness. But does their heart get softer? No, it gets harder. The more they sinned, the harder their heart got. Until finally they died wandering in the wilderness and never made it into the promised land. Sin has a hardening effect. Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." If you look in Psalm 81, if you study through the Bible, you find that when we sin, it hardens the heart, has a hardening effect on the heart, makes it easier to sin the next time, unless we deal with it in the appropriate way. Psalm 81, verse 11, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own lusts," their own heart's lusts, "and they walked in their own counsels." Because they hardened their heart, they wouldn't hearken, God gave them up. And notice Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Romans 1:24. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Sin has a hardening effect to the point where God gives us up over to the sin. If you want sin to be your God, then have at it. And the convicting of the Holy Spirit gets weaker and weaker as we continue to harden our hearts against the things of God's Word. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. "Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." We get to the place where our conscience is seared with a hot iron. We're like those in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 on down there, where we become hardened heart, blinded, vain in our minds. We don't think like we should. I remember counseling one preacher who had gotten away from the Lord and gotten out of it. And I told him that because of his sin, I said, "Your heart has become hardened. You don't see things in your mind like you should." I said, "You have gotten yourself off course and your mind has become hardened and you're blind to things you need to see." And I told him what he needed to do. And he started doing it, and he came back to me and he said, "You know what? You're right. I'm beginning to see things totally different than what I saw them before." And that's what happens to us. Sin has a hardening effect, a blinding effect. And then number 6, 1 Timothy 4:1 here. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Sin is so deceitful because of seducing spirits. Because of the devil himself, seducing spirits. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 4. I know you're familiar with this one. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Here's what it says. In whom the god of this world, small g, Satan, this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Timothy 2, verses 23 to 26. There are people who are taken captive by him at his will, gotten off course, held captive by Satan in their thinking. He's built strongholds. The Bible talks about that in Ephesians 4, to cast down the strongholds, and tells us that here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, to cast down the imaginations and that. And then notice Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation 12, verse 9. Says here, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. If you think in your Christian life you have not been deceived at some point, at some time, by the devil, then get you a pair of scissors and cut this verse out, because you don't believe it. He deceiveth the whole world. And all of us at some time or point in our life have been into some type of deception. The devil is a master deceiver. There are the seducing spirits, and that's why sin is so deceitful. John 8 and 44, which we read this morning, how the Lord just told it like it is about the devil. He said in verse 44 of John chapter 8, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." He's a liar and the father of it. And he's leading many, many people to a devil's hell forever through his deceptive ways. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. The Bible talks about the deceivableness here of the devil and how deceiving he is. It says, even him whose coming, it's talking about the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. The devil is a master deceiver, and he is out to deceive us. So why is sin so deceitful? Well, because we've all inherited a sin nature. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We've all received inherited a sin nature when Adam sinned, because our nature is to forget what God has done for us and what he has said. When it comes to trusting God, so many times we fail to trust him. He's brought us through in the past, but we fail to trust him in the problems of the present. And then because our nature is to soften up on sin. Do you realize there are so many churches today, independent fundamental Baptist churches, that used to preach hard in certain areas that never do now? It's accepted. It's okay. And you can go back and listen to some of the tapes of their early preaching, and they were firing away against it, but now today there's nothing wrong with it. Well, the Bible hasn't changed. The Word of God is the Word of God. We need to stay true to the Word of God. It's our nature to soften up on sin. And there are many false teachers out there. With vain words, they deceive the simple. Need to be careful. And then, because sin has a hardening effect, when we get into sin, it has a hardening effect in our life, and it makes it easier to continue to sin. And then because of the seducing spirit. So what is the conclusion? Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Couple of passages here, and we will be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Notice what it begins out. It says, "For we preach not ourselves." If we're going to preach ourselves, it's all going to come to naught. It's going to fall apart. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, that he might be magnified, as the Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians, that Christ would be magnified in our life. Then look finally at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Here's another take heed verse. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star, the Lord Jesus Christ, arise in your hearts. Stay with the word of God. Take heed to follow the word of God. That's how we are going to avoid the deceitfulness of sin. Get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay in our Bible reading and our prayer, and trying to daily die to self. Crucify the flesh with the affections and lust. Put it to death. Work at it each day so that we will avoid the deceitfulness of sin. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for giving us the Word of God to help us. It's so easy to sin. Sin that doth so easily beset us. You know our frame, but we are but dust. You warn that the flesh is weak. Help us to realize that, and to do all we can to get closer to the Lord. Stay in the Word of God and avoid those traps that the devil tries to set for us to get us off course and to get us away from where we should be. Sometimes it hurts very deeply to do right, but help us to realize that the hurt is only temporary when we do right, but it lasts a long time when we do wrong. Help us to be the kind of Christians that you want us to be in these last days that we live. We thank you. We love you. Work in this invitation. Help us to deal with those things, to take heed to ourselves. Father, we thank you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll sing an invitation song. Give you an opportunity to